Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
And welcome everyone, it's Marina Pullen from MCBI, getting to have some fun today with a man whose last name I'm in total awe of. I'm with a CEO of an amazing council here in South Australia, with Mr. Adrian Scull. You sound like a skateboarder.
It's a funny name, isn't it? My kids think it's good. I always used to hate it.
Oh, it's a great name.
Skull. We originate from Norway or somewhere up there, Skull.
And oh.
Then they moved to England years and years and years ago and it became Skull. That's it. Yeah. You don't meet many Skulls.
No.
There are a few, but yeah.
I think of all the jobs you could do. Like, you could just answer the phone and say, hello, it's Mr. Skull here.
Yeah. I've had lots of jokes. What's Adrian in the winter and numbskull and everything
else? Boom. Yeah. Wow, that's a really bad joke. Yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about numbskulls. Quite ill, is it? We're here to hear about your journey as a leader and someone who influences the South Australian business community.
Yeah.
Always the stories we hear from people like yourself are just so valued. So, thank you for coming here down to the dirty little Featherstone Alley.
My pleasure.
Or someone did say they'd cleaned it up a little bit.
Adelaide Alley.
Adelaide City Council.
Yeah.
Anyway, Adrian, tell us a bit about yourself and how you got here.
I've had a funny old journey. I've been a CEO for about the last 10 years. But before that, I had quite a varied life. So I was 6 years in the Australian Army as a captain in the Army.
Captain Skull.
Aye, of course. And it wasn't Navy. Worked in Switzerland in the Hotel Management College as an academic dean. Came back, ran my own business, then worked for a company called BAE Systems.
And I ran BAE.
I ran their change program from an Australian perspective for 5 years. Amazing job. Mm. It taught me everything that I've learned about leadership and developing others. Got burnt out, needed to change, went to work for local government as an HR manager. I was a year there and then my CEO went and to Adelaide City Council and gave me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Cut the cleanings bill for Featherstone Place. Well, yeah,
don't know anything about that. And then I said, look, I'll give you a year because I want to run my own business. I see an opportunity here in the Adelaide business community that is not being met. And so I did a year with her. So I did 2 years in local government and then I went by myself for 11 years consulting and then got back into local government just by chance. One of my coaching clients was a CEO and offered me a job as a general manager and I've gone from there. So,
wow. Yeah. Good on you.
Yeah. So it's quite varied.
It is an interesting pedigree. So you got the discipline of, you know, Army and BAE, I guess it comes from that defence background.
Oh, absolutely.
And then all the HR and the randomness, although hotel management's pretty strict by all accounts.
It's tough.
Yep.
So if you think of the things that shape how I am, it's definitely the BAE experience.
Yeah.
The military, you know, from someone who just travelled 12 months overseas, long hair, couldn't get a job, didn't care, joined the Army just on a whim. I don't know why I did it. And suddenly they were telling me how to make my bed and everything like that they do in the Army. But it taught me discipline and getting things done and teamwork, and it was a brilliant experience.
Yeah, isn't it?
And then Switzerland carried that on. So Switzerland is, you know, very Germanic. So we were in Lucerne, which is a beautiful place, but the Swiss are very timely, obviously, and very...
like the watch.
Yeah, that's right. And they, I think my culture, what I'd learned, you know, from Army days, fitted well in that environment and it's carried me through.
Yeah. It is, isn't it? Like, countries do have very strong business cultures.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, which
Switzerland,
we'll talk.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you go.
Switzerland is the French-speaking part and the German-speaking part. The French part is very cool. My wife comes from the French-Swiss border. They're like the French, and they're quite laissez-faire. The Swiss-Germans are very, you know, they're two-thirds of Switzerland, and they run Switzerland, and they're very Germanic, you know. I love that too.
Yeah, but, so do I.
But it's, and they get stuff done. I love that.
Me too.
Yes.
I've got an Audi because of its pedigree.
There you go.
And its nickname is Angela.
There you go. Well, because they're built well.
And it gets me around. Well,
yeah.
Most people know I don't actually drive very much anymore, but I'm the public transport guru now.
Good.
Yes, yeah. Interesting. So, I mean, leadership is, we talk about leadership as a very personal thing, but. It is, it's always interesting to hear about other people's journey in leadership. And I guess those pivotal moments when you've been perhaps blown off course or something unexpected happens and then ends up on reflection being a moment that shaped you. Do you have any of those?
There's nothing, touch wood, in my life, even though there's things that, you know, hurt and then shape you as well. But I look back, one of the key things is that when I left school, I was working at Coles and I was assistant fruit and veg manager. And they offered me a job as the permanent fruit and veg manager. And I can't remember how much they were offering me, but, you know, to me it was a lot of money, but it's not. And my dad sat me down and said, I want you to go to uni, you won't regret it. And I listened to him and I thank him forever and love him because I'm glad I did. I went to do an economics degree, and even though I wouldn't know one end of economics from another these days, it was a really good decision because it actually put some layers on opportunity that I wouldn't have had before.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the 6 years in the army changed my everything.
Yeah.
Because I learned discipline and, you know, looking after others, and, you know, that was a critical thing. Switzerland, as I said before. I think as well, running my own consultancy, if you've run your own business successfully, you know.
Successfully is the key.
Well, a lot of people don't. A lot of people hang their shingle out and say, I'm a consultant, and I was. Mm. And I did really well, but I learned some great lessons along the line. You can't have a bad day. You've got to be up every day. Just like in hospitality, and that was a great training ground. You've got to run the business financially. You've got to cash is king, and you've got to be on top of that, and it's not my strength, and it's not my place I prefer to be, but... And you're really good at business development if you're doing it well. You're really good at actually influencing people to use you and then doing a good job and recommending you. And that to me was a fantastic experience.
It's interesting, isn't it? Like, I think it is a bit underrated, the experience of running your own show. How deep the reservoir of our individual talent is that many of us don't really get to dip into.
Yeah.
Except, you know, when you have to hustle for a living, as we sort of jokingly say that.
Exactly.
You find out who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would always look fondly and with interest at people if they came to me for a job.
Yeah.
If they'd run their own business successfully.
Yeah.
You know, and really successfully. So a lot of people tell you that they're doing well, but it's a tough gig.
I think it is.
As well, though, you grow into jobs. So you might have these pivotal moments, which I have had, but you grow into a role. You learn along the way, and I think if you're emotionally intelligent, I think I've got a little bit of that. That you know, there are days that you're full on and you're doing it well and you feel great, and there are many days, even as a CEO, where you think I'm not up to this. It's crazy that little old me is running this with a large number of staff. But you grow and you get better as you make decisions and go forward.
That's interesting, yeah.
But I think your background helps you back growth, and so that's my point of saying that.
So did you choose challenges deliberately or did they just sort of come to you? Do you think, oh, that one looks hard, let's give that one a go?
I never had a career path, so I never would have thought I'd be the CEO of a large Adelaide council, never would have considered it.
Yeah.
In fact, going to council from BAE, which is, you know, I was thinking, oh, my goodness, no way. But he quickly learned that councils have got a lot of things that they deliver that we don't even think about.
Yeah.
In my place, we got 131 different services. We look after people who are isolated right through to businesses. It's not just roads, rates and rubbish. We influence people's lives all over the place.
Yeah.
And it's a great business.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
Yeah, it is tough, isn't it? Because you've got the politicians and...
You've got the politics and the residents, you know, and residents can be wonderful and they can make life very difficult and complex. And so,
I went through a phase of making it hard for my council.
Oh, there you go.
And then I got busy. I didn't have time to send letters.
Yeah, about your place here.
Yeah. Oh, no, I hear. No. I'm in prospect, so
okay.
Lots of change going on there.
There sure is.
Yeah, it's great.
They're winning awards. They're doing really well.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place to live. But lots of opportunity to annoy them and whine as well.
Yeah.
So, speaking of people, I mean, the role of people is becoming incredibly important. We're hearing more and more people talk about well-being, you know, the human experience. But it seems to have changed a bit in my, you know, my sort of very naive or small opinion. I'd be really interested in your view.
Yeah.
But how we look after our people is more of a strategic issue now.
Yeah.
And yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm involved in company directors, and I have been for years. And I watch how things are going with boards. And there's a couple of things I want to say. I used to teach on the company directors course, and they had a people module. And I would ask all these people doing that course, and these are chairs and presidents and politicians and CEOs, tough gig. What's the main number one thing that keeps you awake at night? And every time it was people.
Mm.
You know, it's the people aspect of the job when you're leading teams. I think as well now with the Royal Commission into Insurance and Banking, what they've uncovered is some terrible practices. And it all comes down to the people who are making decisions, watching culture. And that's the way people interact and the way we do things around here.
Mm.
And so more and more, there's going to be more and more focus on the people side, because it's critical and it has to be a strategic thing that you'd look out for. And I think the leaders of tomorrow are going to have to be emotionally intelligent. They're going to have to show that they can influence others. They're people focused. Mm. They'll have to, because that's what we'll be recruiting for, and they'll have to because that's what makes a good business.
Yeah,
you can't get away with ignoring it, and it can't just be about the numbers. And I think, and that's controversial to say it, but the Banking and Royal Commission said that the people stuff was ignored, and they were charging people for things that they didn't even deliver, and that just can't happen.
Yeah, it's like this real abandon. We've just abandoned character. Yeah. You know, like I was talking to someone this week, and they were yelling at the TV because one of those morning news shows, you know, they will sit around and gossip. And one of them was talking about how, oh, no, it's completely your right, I think was the word they used, to lie on your CV. And this colleague of mine was sort of lost it.
What?
He's going, hang on, that's crazy. You know, like, that's lying. Where's your character?
Integrity is just not negotiable, is it? If you're dishonest, we don't want you. Most businesses won't.
Yeah, yeah.
I think as well that we do live in a VUCA world, you know, the volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous. I think things are changing, and they'll change even more as we go forward. And if you haven't got a good workforce plan where you're thinking about the jobs of tomorrow and making people jobs of tomorrow ready, then you're going to miss out. And we need to do that. So people, strategic people management, workforce planning is absolutely critical. It's a good question because it's not asked enough, you know.
No, it doesn't.
And the war for talent is a really competitive environment. It's a really competitive place that good talent is rare.
Yeah. You know? Well, how do you deal with the war for talent? Because, I mean, particularly with your BAE defence background.
Yeah.
They're going like crazy.
They get some great people.
Yeah.
In my sector, people have got a view about local government, which makes it hard to bring them in.
Yeah.
But once you can get them in, I think they realise that we are a really good business with really great opportunities to help you grow, because we actually do have a workforce plan. We're training people for tomorrow. We're attractive to people, but it's difficult. Mm. I always ask my managers, how many staff do you have who you'd really fight to keep? It's an old military term in where they assessed you, but, you know, how many people do you have who you'd fight to keep? They're the talented ones, and they're not that many of them in an organization.
No.
There are people you respect and you love and you want to nurture, but would you fight to keep them? And that's the thing. That's the thing about talent for me, that really great talent, you will do what you can to develop them, to keep them happy.
That's a great, I like the fight to keep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. We should get a badge and put on people.
Yeah.
So you're a keeper.
Some people be offended by that, but you know,
that's all right. We're not going to fight to keep them, though.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to create a club all of our own of all the fight to keepers.
It is a great thing to say to somebody, we need more people like you.
Yeah.
You know, what a wonderful thing to make people know that we really value your contribution in the organisation.
Yeah.
And mean it.
I think it's the authenticity, isn't it, though?
Yeah.
I think I've heard a lot of leaders talk more and more about, when they're building their people strategies, that they now recognise that A graders like to hang out with other A graders.
Yeah.
And they'll deal with the B grader if the B grader has aspirations to be an A grader. But if you mix in too many C and D graders, just like sport or anything else, the A graders go, yeah, no, I don't really know. I'm not sure about this. And they start to get a bit unsettled. But it's interesting to hear people look, like, as you pointed out, you know, the people looking at their workforce differently now.
Going, oh, absolutely. Yeah. And the people coming up now, they want to be challenged. They want opportunities. They don't want to be staying in the same job for 40 years. I'm finding, and I love that.
Mm.
You know, and we, our job is to actually have a workforce plan that gives them those opportunities.
It's hard, isn't it?
Oh, it's tough.
Oh, it's crazy.
The hard thing is you don't know what the job of tomorrow is.
No. Well, the turn rates, I think, in IT is under 2 years now.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even get trained in 2 years in some sectors.
That's frustrating when they leave after 2 years. You want to keep them for three. I think a return on service of three is good.
That's the target. But people, now, thinking of the councils, I mean, we're seeing change everywhere.
Yeah.
And I know for us at the firm, we're really interested in our community, but the council's role's changed from rather being a service provider, you sort of like get amongst it now. Like, you have got elderly people. Is it more people, single family homes or single parent homes now? And
that's right.
More
people
changed.
Live in a home and are the sole occupant of that home. A lot of them are elderly who've been neglected by families, sadly, and they're socially isolated.
Yeah.
There's a lot more people working from home as well. And, you know, when you're doing that, you're not getting that people interaction so much, especially in the IT and high tech areas. And we play a role to bringing people into connection with others.
How do you do that?
Well, with the economic development stuff, we have civic centres where we offer the opportunity for business people to get together, to mingle, to come and do your photocopying, have meetings there with clients, and use that as a place of connection with other people.
Yep.
And then, you know, we've got four of them, and there are places where business people who are working from home, and we're finding more and more, can come and connect.
Yeah.
And not necessarily connect to get a job. You know, you're giving out your business card, but these aren't people who are going to use you because they're doing the same.
Yeah.
But it's just a place to mingle. The one that gets me is the elderly. You know, we do Meals on Wheels, and there are people in our communities in Adelaide who the only person they talk with during that day is the Wheels on Wheels deliverer.
Yeah.
And how sad is that? And
good old Meals on Wheels people, too.
Oh, they're great. The trouble is that they've got meals going cold in their vans and they have to go to the next job.
Yeah.
We have a handy person who goes around to elderly people's places and fixes rails and light bulbs. And if we did a time and motion study on him, we probably would be frustrated with what he's doing.
Yeah.
But I love him because the person in the house will give him a cake and give him a cup of tea, and he chats to them, and then they'll get him back in a month because they enjoyed it, and he's much more than a handyman.
Well, they say that loneliness in this world has the same impact on health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
People die because of it.
Of loneliness, yeah.
There's the Global Centre for Modern Ageing at Tonsi. I'm not sure if you've heard
that,
but it's a magnificent initiative from the government.
Yeah.
And they're bringing together, Tonsi's got all these high-tech businesses who are quite amazing, and they're doing things of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing together those people with high-tech stuff to the community, and we're connecting them to their community to trial things that will help them feel less isolated.
Yeah.
So high-tech gadgets so that you can contact people who live next door or down the street if you need something because you're immobile or even frightened to go outside.
Yeah.
Things that will connect communities, and that's the future of tomorrow.
Isn't it incredible?
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's going to be an export industry, and they're doing some wonderful work.
Yeah.
Isolation is a sad fact of life. We need to combat that.
Yeah, we do, don't we? I was in Japan and they were rolling out drones to the elderly in high-rise apartments to deliver medicine.
Wow.
And the cool part is that they had a whole lot of iPads that they issued out with all the lockdown, how to do it, overcome the obstacle of change. And it was a partnership with a big tech company. But all the training was on how to use it was on the buses and the...
Amazing.
What a good idea, social change.
I think it's great. There's a sadness tinge there because they're missing the human connection as well.
Yeah.
If a drone's delivering your medicine these days, then you're not actually seeing the delivery person.
No. I think this is off the back of the Olympics where they're trying to minimise logistics as well.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
And telehealth, though, so you could hit a button and...
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing world.
The world's amazing.
Isn't it?
And it's going to be so different in 5 years' time. It'll be... You know, we don't know what it's going to be, but jobs will be very different.
We don't know where it's going to be, but hopefully our alleyway is going to be a bit cleaner, you know. Well, that has been an amazing little chat.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it. It's gone, is that 12 minutes, is it? It's gone very quickly.
Where she went a bit over, in fact. So, no, that was fantastic. Thank you so much for Mr. Skull.
My absolute pleasure. Captain Skull.
Captain Skull. Sounds like a whiskey. Captain Skull. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming out and spending some time.
Thank you.
And hopefully we might bring you back again when we do some other stuff with councils and digital.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'd love to.
Great.
Thanks.
Oh, hang on. Oh, hang on. Everyone's probably this. You might have to edit that part. All right, hang on. You're not allowed to go. I've got three quick questions.
Yeah.
Forget it. I was just staring into your eyes. Okay, three quick questions.
Yeah.
Favourite beverage?
Beer. Pale ale.
Yeah. Pale ale, yeah. Coopers?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And some of the boutique beer breweries, but yeah.
Isn't that weird how we're all like, wow. You go, pale ale, Coopers, that's like passé now.
Yeah.
Favourite footy team?
Adelaide Crows.
Oh.
But I love Adelaide United.
We were getting along so well. And very last one, which is my new go-to question, did we actually walk on the moon?
Yes.
Yes, that was a definitive yes.
Yeah, there was something in the paper today that said the shadows are running in different directions, but I trust.
I don't think we did.
You don't think so?
And I'm trying to tell the story. Thank you so much, Captain Skull.
My pleasure.
We'll see you again.
Good on you. Thanks.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.